You guys will be privileged tonight to hear from him. So here you go, Pastor Paul Andre.
Thank you, Jordan. Let's all stand to our feet and let's just call out to God tonight. If you have a heavenly language, let's just start to call out to the Lord for a moment. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, just bring down heaven to earth. Lord, open up the heavenlies. God, let there be a rendering of the heavens, God, that you would literally walk down upon this land called Cleveland. And God, visit us. Let us cleave to you. Let us not hold back. God, let us be obedient to everything that you would say for us to do. And God, let us respond to the Holy Ghost tonight in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Give somebody a high five on both sides. And then you may be seated. Make sure it stings a little bit. I want them to feel that you're there. Amen. Tell the person next to you, are you feeling me? If they slap them good enough, you know they're feeling you. If you didn't, then you have to hit them again until they feel you. Praise God. Well, I had the privilege a number of years ago of going to the largest church in the world in Seoul, Korea. And I just remember some things as Pastor Cho was preaching. First of all, I remember that I didn't understand one word that he was saying. I mean, I had no clue whatsoever, Brother Jim. I had no clue what he was saying, but I could tell you I was feeling it. I sensed in my spirit the anointing of God, and these Korean people, they were about 4 feet high. They were just excited about Jesus. Everybody is smiling and happy, and they're clapping, and they're praising God. And the thing that just amazed me is after a certain season of him preaching, he just stopped, and all of a sudden, the people would start praying in the spirit. And I'll tell you what, it just was like heaven was in the house. And you know, I feel that here tonight. I feel that here tonight. I believe that heaven's in the house. God's got some great things in store for us here. And that you're not here by coincidence. You're here by God incidence. Amen. Let's see all the people that have been here all four nights. Would you stand to your feet if you come all four nights? Give these people a big, big hand. These are some serious warriors. I want to say thank you for being here again. Tonight, I know you might feel revived to a rag, but you're still here. Praise God. And I'm glad you're here and appreciate it. And I want to just have all the pastors. I know there's some wonderful pastors from Pennsylvania here, and Pastor Lindsay and others. Would you just stand to your feet, all the pastors? Let's honor the pastors that are here in the house tonight. Just appreciate each and every one. And the staff pastors maybe that are here as well. We just bless you and thank you for your ministry gift and appreciate your being here in the house tonight. Well, Patty and I, of course, had 6 years of ministry service here at church on the North Coast, and it was hard to leave. I'm telling you, God had to grab me. I mean, I was holding on, and I was trying to, you know, just say, God, couldn't I just stay here any longer? I'm so happy. I'm so comfortable. I'm so blessed here in this house, and God just kind of dragged me out kicking and screaming from church on the North Coast to start this church on the rise. And I'm telling you, I was so connected to this day with this ministry that when we first started our church, we were answering the phone, church on the North Coast. People were like, I thought it was calling church on the rise. And I go, that's right. It is church on the rise. But we were sent. You know, sometimes people are, they just went, but we were sent of God. We were commissioned by Pastor Louis and Tina. They had a commissioning service and we were blessed. And what a blessing that I believe came from the head, Pastor Louis Kayaton. Let's give a big hand to the wonderful head of this ministry, Pastor Louis Kayaton. What a wonderful, honorable, devoted servant of the Lord. I'll tell you who my hero is. It's Pastor Louis Kayaton. He's my hero, Jordan. And I just thank God for the wonderful blessing that I've had of being able to not just serve here in this house, but to continue to serve together. And since we've left Church on the North Coast, some good things have happened. We've helped to start 6 churches in America. and now over 700 in Africa. And we are working hand in hand with Pastor Louis and Troy and the wonderful Church on the North Coast staff and other pastors that are being brought together. And we're looking for 3,000. That's where our goal is, and it's happening. And we're excited about that privilege. We also have had the opportunity to write a book called Glue, a marriage book, and that has been a tremendous blessing in our ministry. And we've had the privilege of being able to travel now in over about 35 different nations ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I just thank God for the privilege of being able to serve God and to be able to get the DNA that's in this house into the house of God at Church on the Rise. And that's the reason I believe that we're rising up, because we got some good roots. Amen? I'm telling you, we came from good stock. If you got some good genes, it helps. How many of you know that? Amen? And we just got some good spiritual genes, and we feel blessed in that regard. Well, thank God that God is like Burger King. I mean, you know, he gives you free refills. And tonight, we're just getting a refill of the Holy Spirit. I feel refreshed. I feel recharged. I want to say thank you, Church on the Rise worship team. Oh, my, 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 my. I mean, somebody must be on the juice. You know what the juice is? That's steroids. You know what I'm saying? They're on some sort of steroids. They already had 3 services this weekend, and then they come out here tonight, and they just were rocking and tearing it up. And Leon, thank you so much for the offertory, and appreciate him being here as well. He is with us this morning at Church on the Rise, and just thanks for setting the table, guys. You did a fabulous, fabulous job. But child of God, I just realized that when we come into this camp meeting, this has been a place for me over and over again to just get refreshed. And people are coming from different parts of the country because they know that God is in the house. There's heaven in the house. And I'm just reminded of what happened in the Mount of Transfiguration. It's really like a Mount of Transfiguration experience, where the Bible says Jesus led up Peter, James, and John. He led them up to the Mount of Transfiguration. And while they were up there, he was transfigured before them. And suddenly Moses appeared. And then Elijah appeared with them. And these guys, when they got into the presence of God, they were in such awe and shock that they weren't sure what to do. They were uncomfortable with the presence of God. And they began to talk and just, you know, say things that really weren't necessary. And Peter began to talk about building 3 tabernacles. One to Jesus, one to Moses, and one to Elijah. And, you know, I just want you to understand that many times when we get in the presence of God, we just want to do something. And the reality is, God doesn't need another monument. Amen. He doesn't need another monument to man. He doesn't want to have another monument to himself. He just wants you to understand something. When the glory comes down, he wants you to see Jesus when it all lifts. Because the Bible tells us that when the glory lifted, that all they saw was Jesus. When we go home tonight and we go to our places of employment tomorrow, and we're hanging out with our friends, student tomorrow, enjoying the last week or two of having no school, we're going to just see Jesus. Amen? Just to understand that that's what it's all about, is to have a greater clarity of who Jesus Christ is and to be able to serve him with a greater fervency than we have before. So I just want to encourage you to focus your eyes on Jesus. You see, when Peter wanted to build just another tabernacle, the glory of God came down and they saw Jesus Christ transfigured before them. And we need to see Jesus just as he is, and then to be able to share Jesus with others. When they left that place, immediately they came into a place of ministry. And you know, God doesn't fill you for nothing. You're anointed to serve. Tell the person next to you, you're anointed to serve. Slap them on the back a little bit and say, you're anointed to serve. I mean, when you want to get somebody encouraged, you slap them on the back. Now, don't hurt them, but you just spank them a little bit. I mean, slap them a little bit on the back. And you've been anointed to serve. The anointing has a purpose. And God's servants, when they were anointed up there on that Mount of Transfiguration, they went down in that valley, and immediately they had to get into service. And they were used mightily of God. And, you know, I just believe that God wants each and every one of us to be able to serve him in a better capacity. I brought a few ministry resources with us, and I'm going to share those with you very, very quickly. What happened to the glue book? I had it with me. We have our marriage book called Glue, Sticking Power for Lifelong Marriages. And this is a book that God gave to us. How many of you are single, first of all? Raise your hand. How many of you are married? Raise your hand. Well, the glue book is just for people that are single or married. All right, so I don't know what you are, but nevertheless, it's just for those of you that are single and married. So anyway, this book, God gave us five powerful principles. Thank you, Peter. Five powerful principles we call pillars of marriage. And it was an absolute revolution in my marriage and in my ministry when we wrote this book, because all of a sudden we found ourselves getting called all over, not only America, but in different nations. Patty and I just spoke at a church of 4,000 in Brisbane, Australia last month, and they bought us out of everything. I mean, everything, every single CD, DVD, book. I mean, we bought a lot of stuff. And I was just like, wow, we got to ship more stuff over there. It was expensive. I wish I could have brought more stuff with me because the shipping is a lot. But nevertheless, I want you to get a hold of this, whether you're married or single, and let it be a blessing in your life. We were just with the builder of LeBron James's house this last week. I had the privilege of seeing LeBron James's house while he was in the Olympics. Amen? And I'm telling you, it's done. It's basically finished. It's not got an occupancy permit yet, but it's 99% finished. We saw furnishings and most of it, and it is spectacular. The builder of his house is in my church this morning. He's a part of Church on the Rise. And we were talking with his wife, and his wife said, you know, I read this book in like 2 days. I got a hold of it, and it was like glued to my fingers. It stuck to me, and it was just so fun being able to read the book, and it helped them in their new marriage. They've just been married about 2 years or something like that, not very long. So I want to just say this is going to be a blessing to somebody that's newly married. Who's newly married here? Somebody just newly married? Okay, get on up here real quick, because I don't want to throw this book and hit somebody in the head. Amen. Just run on up here, and God bless you. We'll sign it for you at the book table. God bless you and your new marriage. We also have a CD and a DVD, yes? I only have one book, sir. How you doing?
Good, how are you? I thought when this started Thursday, I'm one of the guys that made it all 5 days, that I might reunite myself with this man. I'm about 30 pounds heavier, so he doesn't remember me with Dan and Diana Melendez. Okay. But I don't think this will take away from the evening. I was going through a very tough divorce, and I had been at a very conservative Royal Redeemer Church in Lutheran Church and Royal Redeemer in North Royalton, and a very godly man, James Martin. But, you know, it just wasn't electrifying like what we have here. And friends of mine introduced me to a service that was taking place at Westlake High School. And I spent a lot of time with these guys, and they really helped me through some difficult times. I was really doing some stupid things. And one of the things that I had not done well through my life was give more than $5, $10, or $20 at this Lutheran church. And similar to what we did this year with the spring seed, this man asked for some money. And I think I gave around $1,000, and at that point in time, it might as well have been $1 million because I had nothing. And not really much happened in my life until two boys met in fifth grade at Parma Heights Christian Academy. And this was 5 years ago. And the lady that you just gave the book to, Lorena Ramos, came from that seed that I gave $1,000 to your ministry 5 years ago, I truly believe. And we were married last December, the 22nd. And wow. Pastor Louie talked about having some soldiers in the family. Pastor Louie talked about having some soldiers in the family. We're raising five, count them, five boys. So say hi to Lori. That's my wife.
All right. God bless you. Thank you so much. We'll talk afterwards. That was not a paid advertisement, by the way. I remember his face, but I definitely did not schedule that. So praise God. Just real quickly, we have the glue teaching that we do all over the country. Four times we spoke in Tommy Barnett's church last year. A CD of $5 and then a DVD of $10. And that was actually done at Church on the Rise. And then those of you that are single, this really is something that you need to get a hold of. The glue book will be a blessing to you. But this is it's called Red Flags, seven warning signs of what to look out for before you marry a psycho chick. or psycho guy. There are some psycho guys out there, but there's quite a lot of psycho chicks too. So anyway, I want to save you from misery. I want to save you from just, you know, feeling like you're falling off the edge of a cliff. So we just believe in marriage ministry. It's more important to prepare than repair. And we want to build a fence at the top of the cliff rather than a hospital at the bottom. So this is the fence. Everybody say, this is the fence at the top of the cliff. Get a hold of this. And this is $12 as well as the glue book. And if you get two, they're just 10 each or 20. And then the last thing, tonight's message is winning the battle of I. I have this in a booklet form. And I just did something crazy. I just said instead of charging five for one, it'll be five for two. And if you want to buy one, it'll be $3. So I want to just say take advantage of that and get Leon's materials as well. He is a fantastic anointed servant of God. And I know he's back there. And make sure and support his ministry. Well, tonight's message is winning the battle of I. We're going to get into the Word of God. Would you grab your Bibles and hold them up over your head? And let's declare together, this is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I have what it says that I have. I can do what it says that I can do. And I know I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen and amen. Well, we're going to be talking about what every Christian is going to go through. It doesn't matter if it's a person on your right or the person on your left. Look at the person on both sides and say, he's talking about you. Every single Christian is going to go through these three primary battles. Every single one of us. If we're going to get into our promised land, we're going to have to fight sin, Satan, and self. And we're going to be looking at these three battles and actually seeing how it unfolds in the book of Joshua and how we need to be able to understand how we have to overcome in these three areas if we're going to get into our promised land. First enemy, of course, is sin. As we enter into the promised land, we see the first obstacle was the Jordan River. The Jordan River is a type of salvation or baptism. And so it was a major obstacle for them to be able to get across that Jordan River to the other side. Somebody say other side. How many of you remember when you first got saved and you were contemplating giving your life to Jesus Christ and you're thinking about all those sins you had to give up and you started thinking about, oh my gosh, I got to get rid of the smokes and I got to get rid of the girls or the boys and I got to get rid of this and that. And I mean, you were just calculating, counting the cost. Thank God you paid the price. It's not enough just to count the cost. You got to pay the price. And these men and women of God, they came to that Jordan River, and I'm telling you what, it was a challenge for them to be able to get across. I've actually seen the Jordan River. It's an amazing river. It serpentines through Israel about 200 miles. The width of it is roughly 90 to 100 feet. It's between 3 and 10 feet deep. And God told them to go across at the worst of all times. He told them to go across in the springtime when the waters from the mountains of Lebanon the snows had melted and created all this extra water and the banks of the river had overflowed. I mean, they were going across when that wasn't knee-deep, it wasn't waist-deep, it was way over their heads. And you know, the wonderful thing about our salvation is that we realize that God many times saves us in times of crisis. How many of you were saved in a time of crisis in your life? There was something that was going on that was a crisis. You were hurting. You were depressed. You had lost your job. Maybe you had got beaten up. I don't know what happened to you, but something had happened in life, and you had gone through some serious storms. You were in a crisis, and thank God that Jesus Christ is the Christ of the crisis. Amen. And God showed up, and all of a sudden, you realize that, you know what, you were going to go over to the other side. You were going to make it. You know, we have a gentleman in our church that works as a pilot for Continental Airlines. And just yesterday, he was telling me something about what's called the PNR. The PNR, it is the point of no return. And he said this to me. He said, you know, Pastor Paul, he says, when we're doing a transatlantic flight, or if we're crossing a large mountain range, he says, we actually have a set place. We have a set marker that when we get to that certain set place, we know that location is called the point of no return and there's no turning back. We're not going back if there's any trouble with our engines. We're not going back if there's any trouble that we have with that plane or the crew. We understand we have crossed the point of no return. And thank God that you have made that decision that you're going forward and you're not going backwards. I can imagine when they got to that halfway point of crossing that that River Jordan, that they're thinking, you know what, we can't turn back now. How many of you have come to that place in your mind where you've made the decision, I ain't going back. I'm not going back to that old life. I'm not going back to that old nature, that old way of living life. I've gone beyond the point of no return. And you know, it's interesting that once they got across, they came to a place called Gilgal. And I'm just setting this up real quick. I want you to get a hold of it. Let's look at Joshua. We're going to be in the book of Joshua a lot tonight. So you can just stick your finger in there and keep it there. Joshua chapter 4 and verse 20. And it says, and those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up in Gilgal. And Gilgal actually means a place of new beginnings. And it's interesting, it was at Gilgal that they were circumcised. Turn to the person next to you, I don't care what gender they are, and say, you got to be circumcised. You got to be circumcised. If you're going to enter into the promised land, you've got to be circumcised. You've got to have the flesh cut out of your life. You got to understand that God wants to work in you such a work that the flesh is removed from your life. It's not just remodeled. It's not just covered over with another coat of paint. It's not just a little bit of change of scenery. No, it is an actual removal of the flesh in your life where God just says, I'm going to take my flint knife and remove that flesh in your life. Circumcision actually symbolizes the cutting away of the flesh and the end of the old and the beginning of the new. And God wants to do something new in each and every one of our lives when we are willing to crucify the flesh and its passions and desires and be set apart for God and for His purposes. We can't live in unity as the body of Christ. We're talking about unity in this conference. We cannot live in unity as the body of Christ when we're living in the flesh. Did you know that? It's impossible to have unity when we have selfish ambition. When we're like, well, you know what? I'm going to be over that guy and I'm going to keep him down. I'm not going to listen to them. I don't care who they are. I'm just going to listen to myself and I'm going to listen to what I feel like listening to. You know, we get these attitudes and we don't walk in submission to God or to godly authority. And we find ourselves in places where we're creating division in our lives when we've got flesh in our life. The flesh will create division. That's why it's so important that we have that flesh cut out of our life. When we come across that Jordan River, the first thing that God had His people do is to get the flesh cut out of their life. And if you have still got some flesh in you, it's time to have that cut away. Amen? The Bible says that they had some flint knives. Look at Joshua 5, 2 and verse 3. It says, at that time the Lord said to Joshua, make flint knives for yourselves and circumcise the sons of Israel again the second time. So Joshua made flint knives for himself and circumcised the sons of Israel at the hill of the foreskins. Can you imagine 2 to 3 million men being circumcised on the same day? I mean, there was a lot of pain in the camp. I'm just telling you, there was a lot of men saying, don't get close to me, mama. Don't get close to me. There was a lot of guys that were screaming and they were crying and they were saying, kids, you ain't sitting on my lap today. Amen. I mean, there was just a lot of pain. And you know what's amazing is that when we go through pain in our lives, it bonds us together. They were bonded together, just like war veterans are bonded together. You ever see these guys, they're World War II vets that are like 80 years old, and they're still hanging out at the VFW, and I mean, they're telling the same stories, and they're just, you know, they're thick. You can't break those guys up because they've gone through pain together. You know, when you travel to Africa, amen, I mean, it's like you're bonded with people. I remember some of the things that we experienced while we were in Africa. Our car broke down, or not broke down. We got in a traffic jam in the middle of the night in Kampala. And I was probably the only white guy in 10 miles. And there were like hundreds of thousands of people. And my driver started freaking out. because, you know, I'm a white guy in his vehicle. Come on, somebody. It's like, hey, man, they're going to kill me first. And so I just told him, I said, just calm down. God's with us. And he called the police and he started telling the police, they're killing us. They're killing us. He was making up a story. I'm like, hey, listen, they ain't going to get to us anyway. We just got to trust in God. Have you ever been to that place in your life when the police ain't going to help you? You know what I'm saying? The doctors ain't going to help you anymore. You just got to trust in God. And here I am tonight to say, hey, I'm all right. When you trust in God, it's going to turn out okay. You're going to make it. You're not going to have to fake it because God is on your side and God is going to help you through whatever pain that you have to process. And you know, as we go through the storms of life together, from church to church, from person to person, family to family, when we hang with one another going through those storms, it does something to bond us together. We are strengthened together. We're connected together because, you know what? I feel your pain, and I'm able to be closer to you and bonded to you because of that. The flint knives were sharp. In the KJV, the King James Version, that word actually is sharp. They said sharp knives is what they used to circumcise them. And when I think of the sharpest of all knives, I think of the Word of God. I think of the Word of God when I think of that which can truly cut the flesh out of my life and cut the flesh out of your life. It's the Word of God that the Bible says is sharper than a two-edged sword. It's the Word of God that's able to pierce down between the division of soul and spirit. And when we apply the Word of God into our lives, into our heart, we literally see the flesh removed in our life and all of a sudden just falls off you. Have you ever had just something fall off of you before? Where it's just like, man, I don't even have that problem anymore. I used to have that problem. I used to think bad thoughts, or I used to say unbiblical words when I got angry at people driving down the road. How many of you ever said an unbiblical word at somebody while you're driving down the road? Oh, you liars. The only people not raising their hands right now are people with BO problems. We've all said some unbiblical words at people cutting us off. Sure we have. Hey, man, we say, man, it just fell off of me. I don't know what happened. Well, I'll tell you what happened. It's the Word of God. You get inside the Word of God, and all of a sudden that Word starts cutting things off and trimming things and pruning things. And the next thing you know, you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. You've been born again. It's no longer the old things, but now it's new things that God has brought into your lives. The Word of God pierces down into the division of soul and spirit, and it helps us to be able to stand in unity together. One of the things that I'm just so excited about, we came back from Hillsong Conference, and you know, you'd think we'd be talking about worship and worship and worship, but no, the thing that impressed me the most about the Hillsong Conference was how they were active in their community. Working with other churches. They were advertising what the Salvation Army was doing in their town. They were talking about other churches and how they're reaching people. I mean, they were giving commercials for other churches. I was like, my gosh, these guys have such a unity mindset there that they were out there saying, hey, what are you doing for God? What are you doing for God in your city? Because we want to come over and we want to videotape what you're doing for God. And we're going to put it up on our screens and we're just going to say, praise the Lord for what's happening over there at Faith Church. Thank God for what's happening over here at Church on the North Coast. Thank God for what's happening at House of Praise and Church on the Rise and the other churches in the community. And I just thought to myself, what a tremendous thought that churches can have that kind of a generous spirit. Some of us are so cheap. You know what I'm saying? We're just so tight. We don't want our people to go to another church because they might end up going to that church. We're all trying to hold on to a sheep and corral the sheep. Hey, they're not our sheep. They're God's sheep anyway. Amen? Hey, you can't keep a fat sheep from running away. Amen? They're all well fed. They're going to stay with you. Amen. Praise God. So we realized that, you know, God was doing something amazing in that Hillsong Conference. And just to tell you, we came back. We said, we're going to start working with inner city churches. We're not going to just be some church out in the suburbs, a mile from Crocker Park with, you know, all the Cheesecake Factory and Brio's and all that, you know, Dick's Sporting Goods and all them fun places. We're not going to just hang out in the little playground there in Westlake and just watch the world go to hell. We're not going to just hang out there in our hood and just watch the people in the inner city just suffer. What we decided to do is we're going to help kids be able to have some school supplies. So we're hooking up with an inner city church called West 58 Church of God. And this Saturday, we're going to help give out 1,500 kids school supplies. I'm excited about that. I'll tell you what, I'm more excited about that than just about anything else right now that's happening in my life. And then someone else told us about Mount Elementary School, one of the poorest elementary schools in Cleveland, Ohio, and how they just need anybody to do anything for them. And I said, you know what? We're gonna invest money in getting those kids school supplies as well. Not just on the west side, but we're going to do it in the inner city of the east side as well. And so we're going there a week from Monday, and we're going to be giving out school supplies to the kids at Mound Elementary School. You've never heard of Mound Elementary School. I mean, nobody's heard of Mound Elementary School, except maybe a few parents that have kids going there. But you know what? There's great need. It's just desperation there. And you know, when the church starts to unite and they say, you know what? Let's take Africa for God. Let's go to Uganda. Let's plant 3,000 churches. Let's unite and let's go ahead and start giving out school supplies to kids. Something supernatural is going to happen. And when we cut the flesh out of our life, we can walk in unity and we can do great exploits for God at such a time. Number two, the second battleground that every Christian must face is against Satan. First, it's against sin, and then we're going to face Satan. The second challenge arose for the Israelites when they came from Gilgal, and they entered into a place called Jericho. Now, Jericho was a tremendous obstacle, probably even a greater obstacle than the River Jordan, in that there was no way for them in the natural to get in to that mighty fortified city. They actually say that this is the oldest ancient city that they know of in the world, Jericho. Jericho had an Amorite wall that was discovered, and as they measured it, archaeologists found that the wall of Jericho was 18 feet thick. Can you imagine trying to get through an 18-foot thick wall with a little spear and a few clubs or whatever that they were fighting with in those days? You ain't getting through an 18-foot wall just with, you know, this normal conventional weapons. They actually were so thick that they said that they could have two chariots going on the same time at the top of the wall. I mean, they actually had two lanes of traffic, chariot traffic, on the top of the walls of Jericho, and there was no city like it in the world. It was the most powerful and the most prosperous city in the world. And here they were, the children of Israel. They just came through the wilderness, got, you know, taken through this Jordan River, and they're supposed to take this incredible city by storm. How many of you know they needed to have something supernatural, some supernatural weapons in order to succeed? And child of God, we need to realize that there are some supernatural, spiritual, unconventional weapons that we need to put into practice in order for us to overcome Satan in our life. And here's what the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verses 3 through 4 says to us about it. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds." The first weapon of prayer, the first spiritual weapon of warfare is obedience. The Bible says in James chapter 4 and verse 7, "Submit yourself therefore to God," which is obedience. "Resist the devil and he will flee to you." When we're submitted to God and committed to God, the devil can't stand before us. The greatest act of faith, my friend, is obedience. That is the number one act of faith, is standing in obedience and acting in obedience. Sometimes we overcomplicate the gospel. Sometimes we overcomplicate praying as well, like in this video that we're about to see. Just be obedient.
Joel Carpenter is a new Christian, so to help him pray, we've hired that super pastor guy you see on TV.
God, please help my marriage. We're just really struggling right now.
Oh, Heavenly Father, He who has created all things, makes the sun and moon rise at His command. I beseech you, take this woman that you've given to me as a helpmate and bring her to her senses that we might abide together forever in a purpose-driven marriage.
God, I'm really frustrated at work. Help me find a new job.
I ask you now, in this area of employment, Thee who gives me the sustenance in an employer fashion, please guide me to something, if it be Your will, that would bring You glory.
My kids are driving me crazy, and I don't know what to do. You just help me out.
You have blessed me also with many young saplings, and I ask at this day that You would help me and my helpmate to raise them in the way of Your word.
Amen, God.
And now I end this time with you, Lord, bowing before you, giving you all that you deserve in sacrifice and in sacrament. Let it be known that the Alpha Omega is pleased. Amen.
We don't have to overcomplicate the gospel, folks. Amen. Just be obedient. I want to quickly introduce my little saplings right here in the front row. Patty, stand up real quick with all the saplings. Would you guys stand up? That's Jordan, the oldest, Natasha, and then Promise, Gabrielle, and Gideon. You guys need to turn around. People want to see your faces. All right. God bless all y'all. I got the whole sapling group here tonight. Praise the Lord. So obedience, that's the number one area that we need to understand. If we're going to overcome Satan, we just got to be obedient. We're disobeying God and his word. We're going to get beat up. We ain't going to have success in spiritual warfare. The second weapon is follow your spiritual leaders. Make sure that you're following your spiritual leaders. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, be followers of me, Paul says, even as I follow Christ. Watch who you're following. Just about a month ago, Patty was with me and Connie Lindemann, our music director, at Hillsong Conference, and the two girls went to the bathroom. How many of you know girls always go to the bathroom together? It doesn't matter if there's two or 20 of them. They're all going together. And so they went to the bathroom together, and Patty came back a few minutes later with a huge smile on her face, and I said, what happened? And she goes, I'm never following Connie ever again. That's what she said. And I go, why? She goes, because Connie walked into the men's room. And she kept going in. Stand up, Connie, real quick. Come on. Right there she is. I just want to identify her. She kept going into the men's room, and she didn't stop until she saw guys standing at the urinals. And she was a great source of entertainment for the Aussie men that were just, you know, relieving themselves. Oh, my gosh. So Patty says, I'm never following her ever again. Well, you know what? You can be sure of one thing. When you follow your pastor, you're going in the right direction. Amen? You are going into the right direction. Be careful that you're following your spiritual leaders. That's a great source of spiritual strength for you. It'll help you as a spiritual weapon in your life when you're running with the vision of the house and understanding that God's called us to follow the examples of our spiritual leaders. Never, ever speak against your pastor. Never, ever speak against anointed servants of the Lord. I learned my lesson the hard way. When I was here at church on the North Coast, I had an event in my life that I will never, ever forget. I remember Henry Hinn. Any of you guys remember Henry Hinn coming here? So let me see your hands. Oh, my gosh, a lot of you. I just love all you people. Some of you guys, I remember from 20, 25 years ago. I have people, sometimes I go to the mall and people go, you baptized me, Pastor Paul. And I go, praise God. I can't remember you, but thank God the water was warm. Amen. It was good experience. And so we baptized about 500 people while we were here at church on the North Coast. And so Henry Hinn was in town for like a week-long meetings. And folks, I'm just telling you, it was longer than these four nights. And the meetings were going till 12 midnight. It's not 12 yet. Amen. And yet, I mean, they were going to 12 every single night. And you know how Pastor Carrington is. He's up like at 4:30 in the morning, you know. I mean, it just didn't matter if it was 12 or not. And we were hitting it hard day after day after day. And I started to grumble. I started to complain, Mary. I can't believe I'm confessing it here at church on North Coast. But I started to complain. And I didn't complain to anyone in the church. I would never complain to your father. I wouldn't complain to other staff. I was just complaining to my wife. I was whining. How many of you know that Jesus turned the water into wine, but he can't turn your wine into anything? It's good for nothing. And I was whining, and I was just saying, you know, he doesn't have to go this long. He didn't have to go that, you know, this late. And I was talking against Henry Hinn and his, you know, ability to speak in a long, long periods of time. And I was like, man, you could shorten this meeting. Come on, somebody. I know some of you are thinking that right now. Pastor Paul, you could shorten this story is what some of you are thinking. But I started to get just a little bit, you know, upset about it all, and I started talking and complaining against the man of God, and something happened. Suddenly, I got diarrhea. I had the worst case of diarrhea in my entire life. I was literally living on the throne for 3 days. Yes, I really can't come to see you right now because I am on the bathroom. and I can't get off. You know, I love to be able to do my meetings today, but it ain't going to happen because I am on the throne and I'm not praying. I mean, I was on the throne for 3 days, and finally I prayed and I said, God, what is going on here? Show me what is happening. And God said, you have spoken against my servant. And when he spoke that to my spirit, I immediately repented. And I said, God, I repent. I should never have said anything against that man of God. Forgive me, cleanse me, and heal me of this diarrhea. And I'm telling you, instantly, I was healed. And I learned that verborrhea leads to diarrhea. Some of you got some verborrhea in your mouth. You got to get rid of it or it's going to come out the other end. Come on, somebody, and say amen. Praise God. I learned not to ever speak against the man of God after that. Very, very cautious. Thirdly, don't go into battle without the ark of God's presence. The children of God marched around the city with God's presence. They had the ark that went out before them. Child of God, can you imagine when we're all marching around our city with the presence of God? I mean, we've got the presence of God inside of us. We've got the Ark of the Covenant right here. Just slap your midsection somewhere, all right? You got the Ark of God right here. The people of God were going around that city over and over again with the Ark of God's presence. I remember several years ago when we went to an abortion clinic, an area actually that had three abortion clinics in Shaker Boulevard. That is a place where more Ohioans are killed than anywhere else. And we went down there and we just declared in the name of Jesus that those abortion clinics would be shut down. We just spoke against the powers of darkness, the spirit of death. And I'm telling you, one of those three abortion clinics shut down. Praise God. Because you know what? We took the ark of God's presence right down there into the throat of hell and said, hey, we just will not accept that this is God's plan for this city. And we're going to save children. We're going to save lives and save destinies. And praise God, the ark of God's presence made impact in our own city. And it'll make impact in your city. It'll make impact in your workplace. It'll make impact in the house of God when you are walking with the ark of God. You know, I just can't imagine what it must have been like walking around those walls 6 days in a row. They just were walking. They weren't talking. They were walking for 6 days. It's the same old, same old. Do you ever get tired of the scenery? Sometimes you get tired of the same old scenery. It's so nice to just get a little change of scenery. And these guys, they weren't having a change of scenery, but they were still in the will of God. And I just want to say something. Some of you, this is for you, a word for you tonight. Some of you are just feeling like, you know what? I've just been doing the same old thing for God. I've been faithful here as an usher. I've been faithful here as a Sunday school teacher. I've been faithful in the choir. I've been faithful with music ministry. And you're just going, I just don't see anything happening different. I'm just telling you, if you'll keep walking, if you'll keep walking in faith, God will give you something to shout about. Because not many days afterwards, after they had kept faithful to walking and being faithful with God around those city walls, God knocked down the walls and they all began to shout great victory in their lives. Just stand up for a moment and just start to shout some victory over your life here tonight. Shout some victory over sickness. Shout some victory over financial debt. Shout some victory over your situation of a ruptured relationship. Shout some victory over whatever giant that you might be facing, whatever devil that might be coming out against you. We need to start shouting out some victory as we walk faithfully in God. Slap somebody again and say, can you feel me? Slap them and tell them, can you feel me? If they say no, slap them harder. Amen. Some of the greatest victories in our lives have been times when we began to shout to God, not because we felt like it, but because we knew we had to just stand on God's word and believe that he was going to help us overcome Satan when we were in face-to-face conflict. And then number three, the battle of self. The Israelites left Jericho feeling pretty good about themselves. They were feeling real confident. They had just taken the greatest city and they had decimated it. They had won that great battle. And now, the only thing that they had to face was a battle of a city called Ai, or the battle of Ai. In Joshua chapter 3, or 7, verse 3, we see what happened here as they left Jericho and they went to the next stage. A Christian, child of God, when you've overcome sin in your life, you overcome Satan in your life, then there's another thing called self. Sin, Satan, and self. And let me declare to you and decree to you tonight that you are your own worst enemy. I'm just telling you, if you can overcome yourself, you can overcome Satan easily. If you can overcome yourself, you can overcome sin. I mean, if you can just get out of the way, get out of your own way, you'll be fine. Sometimes they just say, God, keep me out of the way. Keep me out of the way of what you want to do at Church on the Rise. Keep me out of the way of what you want to do in Africa. Keep me out of the way of what you want to do in my city. God, just keep me out of the way. Somebody needs to say amen tonight. Because the battle of I, folks, is an individual battle. The battle of I is the area where most people are defeated. It's a place where many people lose their victory. Just like the people of God had victory as they crossed the Jordan River, they had victory as they crossed and they defeated the first city there at Jericho, but they had defeat at the Battle of Ai. That city is spelled Ai. You could call it Ai or I. I just call it I because we're talking about the battle of self. Sometimes we have overconfidence. We think, well, you know what? I've had some victories in my life, and you know what? I know I'm all right. I'll be fine. I don't have to worry about myself. Oh, yes, you do. Sometimes we have overconfidence in ourselves. And Joshua chapter 7, verse 3, it says, and they returned to Joshua and said to him, do not let all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 people, men, go up and attack Ai. Do not weary all the people there, for the people of Ai are few. You can't afford to put too much confidence in your flesh or any confidence in the flesh. It'll always, always fail you. The Bible tells us that the battle is the Lord's. The battle isn't ours. And these men had come to a place where they said, you know what, this isn't a major deal. We'll just go ahead and fight this with a few people. We won't put a lot of resources in it. We don't even have to pray about it. You know what, we got to pray about everything. We got to get God's direction about everything. The Bible says, acknowledge God in all of your ways, and he will make your path straight. So important that we understand that we need to acknowledge him. And so I just want you to understand some important truths, that the battle of I is fought on three battle fronts. It's our hurts, our hang-ups, and our habits. Three areas that we have to overcome to win the battle of I is our hurts, our hang-ups, and our habits. Those are three major snares that the enemy can use to trip us up, to cause us to fall, and to cause us to fail. There was a truck driver I heard about who was driving down through town, and he was displaying some very peculiar behavior. Every time they came to a red light, he would grab his baseball bat, he'd jump out of his truck, and he would beat the side of the truck with a baseball bat. And then he would jump back into the truck and he'd drive off to the next stopping point where he would repeat the same procedure again. A curious motorist couldn't help following this guy in this truck and couldn't help but stop when the man stopped in a restaurant to talk to him and to ask him why he was beating the sides of his truck. The observer, in his curiosity, it was too much. So he asked him, sir, pardon me, I've just been watching you, and I have to ask you a question. Why do you beat the sides of your truck with a baseball bat every time you stop? Well, this is the way it is, replied the man. I've got a 2-ton truck, and I'm carrying 4 tons of canaries, so I've got to keep 2 tons airborne at all times. Just like the truck driver, many of us are carrying way too much of a load in our life. And we're trying to beat ourselves. Come on, somebody. We're beating ourselves constantly. Every time we stop, we're beating ourselves because we had an abortion. We're beating ourselves because we got involved with some addiction. We got involved with pornography, or we got involved with some sexual sin, and we're beating ourselves because we didn't, take an opportunity that God brought to us, and we feel like our life's a failure. We're beating ourselves constantly at every stop and every turn. Folks, I just want you to understand it's important for us to cast those burdens upon the Lord. We had such an amazing August 4 years ago. 4 years ago, this August, we had an NFL quarterback walk forward named Jeff Garcia from the Cleveland Browns to walk forward and give his life to Jesus Christ at Church on the North Coast, or Church on the Rise. I'm all confused. And I just remember, seeing Jeff walk down as we did the altar call, and a number of people as well walk down and give his life to Jesus Christ. He's right now rated the number 3 NFL quarterback in all the NFL right now. I mean, he left Cleveland, and he led the Eagles to the playoffs. He left Cleveland, and he led the Buccaneers last year to the playoffs. I said, dear God, why couldn't it happen while he was in Cleveland? 4 times a Pro Bowler. I mean, it's a big deal to have a guy like that saved at your church. And I remember Jeff, I'd talk to him on Saturday nights before the games. He'd say, Pastor, call me up on Saturday nights. He wanted prayer on Saturday nights for the game. Amen. I mean, he's a smart man. And I got to really befriend him. And in our course of conversations, I asked him one time, I go, Jeff, just tell me, what is it like in the NFL when you've got the defense on a blitz? I mean, it's an all-out safety blitz. What does it feel like as a quarterback when you know that everybody's after you at one time? And he says, Pastor Paul, there's only one thought on my mind. When there's a blitz on, the only thought in my mind is getting rid of the ball. And let me tell you something, child of God, when you have issues in your life and you have burdens in your life, it's so important for you not to hold on to those things. You've got to get rid of them. You've got to dump that ball. You've got to get rid of those issues in your life, because if you don't, you will not win the battle of Ai, and you will not go into your promised land, into the destiny that God has for you. You've got to deal with your hurts. You've got to deal with your hang-ups. You've got to deal with your habits, or they will deal with you. As we look at the Battle of Ai, we see what happened was that one man was unfaithful. Joshua 7:1. Joshua 7:1 says, but the children of Israel committed a trespass regarding the accursed things. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed things. So the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel. One man. Everybody say one man. One man, Achan, was aching for riches. He didn't want to do it God's way. And see, the city of Jericho was the first fruits of the land. And folks, the city of Jericho, God said, don't touch any of it. It's all mine. All that stuff is mine. You know what that was? That was a type of the tithe. That was a symbol of the tithe. That God's to have the first fruits. How many of you know that God's to have the first 10% of everything that we receive? I mean, it doesn't matter if it's our income at work or if it's investment income or anything else that comes to us, any profit that we receive, we give that to God. And so Achan was aching for riches, and Achan took what was God's, and he took it and he hoarded it. And folks, it's sad to say, you know, I just got a phone call from the plane dealer last week, and they're asking me, they said, we're doing an article about church security after that guy got shot, you know, usher got shot and. What was it, Colorado? Or no, it was Tennessee, I think. And they're talking about it. I said, Pastor, we want to talk to you about church security. And I said, yeah. I said, we got security here at Church on the Rise. We have our ushers with Uzis. No, I didn't say that. But I said, yeah, we have people that are packing heat in our church. And I said, we do have video cameras everywhere and inside and outside the building. And you know, we talked about that. And, you know, we're talking about security. And, you know, the reality is this, guys, is that when we go to church every given Sunday, there are hot cars in our parking lots. There are hot jewelry on the people in that sanctuary. There are people that are literally walking with hot clothes. That's stuff that's been bought with God's money. That's things that were tithe money that was not used properly for God. And they went out there and they bought themselves some jewelry, and they went out there and got themselves some extra clothes. But I'm just telling you, it ain't gonna prosper your life. You can hide it. You can try to hide it, but the reality is it'll come back and bite you. Don't be messing with God's money. Make sure you tithe and put your priority on obeying God in the area of your finances. Joshua 7 verses 20 and 21. It says, and Achan answered Joshua and said, because it came out, indeed I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I've done. When I saw among the spoils the beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them, and there they are hidden in the earth in the midst of my tent with the silver under it. You see, what happened here is he went ahead and he coveted for something that wasn't his. And I've been told that 18% of Spirit-filled Christians across America don't 18% tithe. 82% do not tithe. And folks, don't be in that 82%. Be in that 18%. Thank God at church on the North Coast and Church on the Rise, the numbers are way higher than that. Amen. We just believe that God wants us to be faithful with the finances that he's blessed us with. And how can we expect the wealth of the wicked when we can't even be faithful with the little bit of money that he's given us? Amen. Come on, somebody. I mean, how many of you have ever heard of John Avanzini? Some of you heard of John Avanzini, great faith teacher. And you know, John Avanzini had an opportunity to meet one of the sheikhs. Workers, one of the sheikhs from, Saudi Arabia, one of those Middle Eastern countries. And so he's talking to one of these sheikhs workers that had an assignment of taking the sheikh's wives out shopping. Now, they didn't go down to Crocker Park or to Midway Mall or something like that. These girls went to Europe and they jumped in a jet plane and they went out shopping for days at a time in different places in Europe. London, Paris, and other places, and they literally spent $17,000 just on the jet fuel, and by the time they were done, it was a $500,000 bill. I don't feel that bad about my wife shopping now. Praise God. $500,000 bill, and they said that when these women got their stuff home, that many times 80% of what they bought never was taken out of the boxes. 80%. They just picked it and they never used it. Folks, I'm just telling you, when we're not obedient with God, when we don't win in this area of our hurts, our hang-ups, and our habits, we got bad habits in our giving, bad habits with our praying, bad habits with our serving. This, I'm telling you, it will impact your life. It'll make a difference in your life, and you won't receive 80% of what God wants you to have. How many of you want to have everything that God wants you to have? Not just some things, but everything. Let's not diminish the work of God because we've blocked it up. My dad is here. I want my dad to stand up real quickly. I'm just introducing the whole family. My dad had a heart attack in 2006. Thanks, Dad, for standing. In 2006, he woke up one morning in North Olmsted, Ohio, and he had bad chest pains, and my mother called the emergency rescue services, and they immediately rushed him off to St. John Westshore Hospital. And when he got there, they did the dye and all that kind of stuff, and they immediately discovered that one of his arteries was 99% blocked. 99% blocked. They were amazed that he could still be standing, that he could still be conscious. And, of course, they immediately went in, and they opened him up, and thank God today, you know, he's a healthy man, and, you know, he's got a good heart. But he had some blockage in his heart that could have killed him. And what I'm asking you today is, what kind of blockage did you have in your heart? What kind of things in your life do you have to get rid of in your life that literally is hurts or hang-ups or habits in your life that are going to block up what God wants to accomplish in your life and what God wants to perform in your life? It's very important that we deal with whatever heart condition that we may have. Look what Ezekiel chapter 36 verse 26 says. Chapter 36 and 26. This is the will of God concerning your heart. It says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Ignoring your personal demons in your life instead of battling them will weaken you, and it will weaken the armies of God. We've got to deal with it. We've got to talk about it. We've got to be willing to be able to say to somebody else, hey, listen, will you pray with me? Can you help me? We've got to be willing to say, God, come and see if there be any wicked way in me and cleanse me from anything that's holding me back, because it impacts the rest of the people of God. When Joshua finally saw what was happening in the Battle of Ai, he realized that, you know what, there was one man that wasn't taking, you know, the directions of the Lord, and he was serving himself rather than serving the Lord. He had to deal with him. And I don't want to take the time here tonight to explain, but basically Achan lost his life. Because he was aching for riches, because he was aching for self. He was not about the will of God and about what the armies of God wanted to achieve. And he was all about himself. And tonight I just want you to know that the kingdom of God is like a long chain. And every one of us is a link in that chain. And I want you to tell the person next to you, don't be the weakest link. Please don't be the weakest link here. Don't be the weakest link because you don't deal with your hurts, your hang-ups, and your habits. Don't be the weakest link because you just don't deal with whatever kind of attack that the enemy's put on your life, and you just listen to him rather than listen to the word of God. It's very important that you allow the blood of Jesus Christ to flow to your life. Just think about it. What happens when a part of the body does not receive blood flow? It gets gangrene and it has to be amputated. Don't go to that place where the blood of Christ is not washed in your life because you're not right with God. Make sure that you're right with God. Make sure that your life is right with God. I want to just close with this. We had the opportunity, Patty and I, to have a dinner that was just blew our minds. We had an opportunity to go with Rob Shank, a good friend of Pastor Caton's and ours, to actually have dinner with the Supreme Court of the United States of America. It was just a couple months ago, I believe it was. Yes, it was in June. And there were about 200 people there in the Supreme Court building there, right out it's called the Great Hall. And we had the opportunity to have 8 of the 9 justices there. We met 4 of them face to face and had discussion with them, just like we will, you know, talk to you in the lobby afterwards. And it was an amazing opportunity to talk to some of the most powerful people on the planet as far as human beings. But let me tell you something. One day, we're going to all have to stand before, face to face, a judge that is way more powerful than Alito or any of those other judges, Thomas or any of the other ones that we talk to. There's a judge of judges, there's a king of kings. And it's so important that we have our life right with him before we get there. What a wonderful thought to think that we could have our case thrown out of court before we have to stand and be able to face the evidence that is arrayed against us. Would you stand to your feet? Tonight, I just want to close in praying for people tonight that are just honest enough. People that just have enough of God in their life, enough conviction of the Holy Spirit in their life to say, you know, Pastor Paul, on this last night of this great Church United Conference, I want to just give it all to God. I want to go all the way with God. I don't want to go halfway. I don't want to just overcome sin in my life or just overcome Satan in my life. I want to overcome some of my own personal hurts, hang-ups, and habits. I don't want to let anything get in the way of the divine destiny that the Lord has for me. And if that's you tonight, I want you to just simply get out of your seat. I want you to come down here to the front. And we're just going to close and we're going to pray for you. Say, you know what? I want to win my battle of I. Just begin to come right now. Give them a big hand as they come. People are coming from every section. I just believe. Let's deal with it tonight. Let's let God deal with us. I believe God wants to touch you. I believe God sent you here tonight. Especially, come on, all the way to the front. Come on down. God wants to minister to you in such a way that you have freedom from those things that have bound you, those things that have held you back. Don't be aching. Aching could have got out of it. Aching could have confessed the thing before he had to stand before Joshua and give an account for his actions. Thank God. Thank God that you have an opportunity to make it right with God tonight. Thank God for his mercy. Can we have somebody standing behind every one of these people that are standing here tonight? Just somebody. Church on the North Coast, or Church on the Rise, men of God, women of God, let's just stand behind these people of God here tonight. Amen. Let's back them up. Let's stretch out our hands. Let's stretch out our hands. Father, tonight in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for the mercy of God. We thank you, Father, for the peace of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, God, for the forgiveness. We thank you for the blood of Jesus. Even now, as they will begin to confess, Lord, their sins, their shortcomings, their weaknesses, their need of you, I pray in the name of Jesus for supernatural grace, supernatural power to be able to live for you. God, to be able to overcome their issues of their past. Father, don't let them hold on to this any longer, but to get rid of it. God, to dump it at the cross, at the foot of the cross of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that their load is being lifted. Their burden is being broken. And the peace and power of the Holy Spirit is being dispensed into their life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Do it tonight. Do it tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing together.
This is my daily bread, oh.
This is my daily bread.
You are my daily bread. Your very word, oh, your very word, oh, spoken to me, Lord. Yeah. And I, oh, I'm desperate for you. Lord, we're desperate. Lord, we're desperate.
And
Lord, we're desperate. You know the deepest parts of our hearts, God, and we're desperate now. Change our hearts, oh, and I. We're so lost without you, Lord. I'm lost. Oh, Lord, can we proclaim it? And I, Lord, and I. Desperate, we're desperate, we're desperate, Lord. And yeah, yeah, we need your heart, oh God. I'm lost, oh, and I, oh, oh, oh God, I'm desperate. Crying out, creating us a new heart. Hey, and I, oh, 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 Lord, oh, Lord, made the crooked way straight, Jesus. Oh, Lord, made the crooked way straight, Jesus. We cry out for our city. We cry out for Cleveland. We cry out for Ohio. We cry out for the surrounding areas. Fill this place. Fill the streets with your presence. Fill the streets with your presence, God. Fill the streets. Fill us up, God. Oh, we're crying out. We're crying out. And I, and I. We're crying out for Cleveland, Lord, and I, and I, and I, oh, oh, I'm lost, oh, so lost, so lost, I'm lost without you,
hallelujah.
I'm lost without you, Lord.
You know, I felt it all day. That I felt it from the beginning of this morning that God wants to heal people as they worship. And I feel it real strongly now. And so if you've come in with something, if there's, I don't know, if you know somebody, and we're going to receive an offering for Pastor Andre in just a few moments, but I want to be obedient to the Lord. And so if there's some sort of sickness that you're attached to, we're going to sing about God's healing virtue and just lead in that direction. But we just want to give the Lord an opportunity to show himself strong tonight, not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord tonight. Just give the opportunity to him and just come. And tonight, if that's you, just come right now. And God, by the word of the Lord, he's going to heal you tonight, and he's going to set you free tonight, and he's going to release healing virtue tonight to your body this evening. If you'll just step out and say, that's me, I need a touch from the Lord tonight. There's some sickness that I'm battling with. There's some people I know that need you, God. And so with our worship right now, let's just lift our song up to the Lord and invite his presence to come. And as his kingdom comes, sickness will leave. Amen, church? Just begin to worship him.
Healing, 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 healing. Healing, healing, we proclaim, Lord, healing, 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 make us whole, Lord, healing, healing, not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit, healing, 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 we proclaim. healing, oh, healing, healing. We proclaim the word of the Lord, healing. Oh, healing, healing, healing. By your stripes, we are healed, Lord. Oh, and we agree with you. By your stripes, we are healed. And we proclaim healing, healing, Lord. Healing, healing. We proclaim it, Lord, healing, healing. We proclaim it, Lord, healing, yeah, healing, yeah, healing. We proclaim it, Lord, healing, healing, yeah, healing. Jehovah, Rapha, heal, 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 heal. Oh. Oh, healing, heal, heal. Jehovah, Jehovah, heal, heal, heal. Oh, heal, heal, heal. We will walk, in the healing.
I was worshiping the Lord and I felt that the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, a spirit of blame that many people have been living under that has brought a lot of reproach to your life is going to be broken right now in the name of Jesus. I don't know if you've ever had anybody to blame you for some of their own problems, but this is not just words. It's like a spirit that comes and it's like a spear that penetrates the very soul of a man and a woman. And as I was worshiping, I saw people living under this heavy burden. And even though you're worshiping, and some of you might be around the front blessing the Lord, but it's almost like you've got this burden upon your shoulders because you have felt that you have been the result or the reason for the result of some of the situations around you and in your life. And so I just want to pray that prayer to break that thing tonight because I believe that God has given us glory and virtue and not shame and reproach. Amen. And so just lift your hands, God. I just know right now, Father, there are people in this room that I've sensed, oh God, that they have been the responsible party, the responsible person. But Father, right now, you've set them free from that. All guilt, all condemnation, all shame, all reproach. We bind it now. We cast it away. We command it to go into dry places and never return again. We believe, Lord God, that this is a night of liberty and this is a night of freedom. And Father, the healing that you want to bring, God, is not only renewal, but it's restorative. And Father, you want to bring us up, oh God, into a place of power and strength, a new capacity for your kingdom. So God, right now, every man, woman, boy, or girl that is standing in this room that have felt this condemnation upon their life, I break its power now in the mighty name of Jesus. And I release them into liberty. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And so right now, I want you to walk in your newfound liberty and your newfound freedom in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Somebody shout, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.